figured out the theme this morning. Anybody know? Come on. All right, thank you. Somebody say that. The blood of Jesus. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. And in just a few minutes, we will receive the Lord's Supper together. We try to do that about two times every year on a Sunday morning. Usually we have the Lord's Supper in the evening service, but it's nice to be able to do it in the morning. We do have folks here that aren't always here in the evening, and nursery workers and all that. And so it is a blessing to talk about the Lord's Supper, and especially talk about the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." In other words, we're not saved with silver and gold, corruptible things. We're not. You can't buy your way to heaven. If you're not saved today, there is no amount of money you could spend to pay the debt for your sin. There's no way you can be saved by spending money or giving money or anything like that. All right. So we're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, you go back in your mind to the Old Testament time, sacrifices being made, and a lamb that would literally give its life, or its life would be taken by the blood being spilled from that lamb, and that lamb would have to be without blemish and without spot. And I do remind you, when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Behold the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God that can take away our sins, totally take away our sins, by the shedding of His blood. Father, bless now as we talk about such an important subject, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for that blood. And in just a few minutes, Father, we'll remember you. We'll remember your death on the cross. We'll remember the things that took place. We'll also remember that you rose again. You conquered death. And because of the blood being shed, we can have life. And so help us now to just follow the message, follow the scripture, and may it make a difference in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many, many years ago, in a convention of many different kinds of religions, a fellow named Joseph Cook stood up and addressed the congregation. And he said this, he said, "I know a woman who is a murderer." And he said, "How many of you, or can anyone give anything in your different religions to remove sin and give peace?" And the whole audience was silent. I mean, here's a woman who was a murderer. She's done this wicked, wicked deed. And all these religions, nobody had an answer. And he said, "Well," he said, "let's ask John." And what he meant was John in the Bible. And he turned to 1 John 1 and verse 7. And it says this, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins." Oh, yes, folks, there is an answer to the question, can someone who sinned have their sin removed and have peace in their life? Yes, they can. Amen. And I stand before you today as one who has had his sin removed, and I can have peace with my Lord Jesus Christ, but not without the blood of Jesus Christ, not without the shedding of the blood. And the Bible says in Leviticus 17 and verse 11, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." It's interesting, you know, how sometimes we say that, well, you know, we're so excited that science was able to prove a Bible truth. Well, I'm always excited when the Bible truth is able to show science what's really true. And the Bible said that years and years ago, that the life of the flesh was in the blood. You know, people didn't used to totally understand that, even scientists, doctors, and that. In fact, if you've ever heard of bloodletting, which is actually draining blood out, they thought that would help people. In fact, a very famous person, George Washington, had a throat condition. Actually, George, if you studied him, you'd find out he was actually a pretty unhealthy fella. And one time he had a very serious throat condition and was struggling with that. And through the counsel of his doctors, they suggested bloodletting. He was for it. And they drained 35% of his blood out of his body. And obviously that hastened his death rather than preserving his life. And so the loss of his blood, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You must have blood to live. By the way, it only makes sense that if you have to have blood physically to live, it only makes sense that God would then make blood a requirement so that spiritually we also could live. And you have to have blood. And so the blood of Jesus, that's why it's so important. We're not a gory religion. We're not going to offer a sacrifice today. Hallelujah. We don't have to offer a sacrifice because it's already been offered. Amen. And you know, somebody says, oh, I see things here today. You know, we don't usually see. I wonder what's in there. Blood? No, there's no blood. And but the blood of Jesus is important. By the way, one of the ways you can tell it's so important is that more and more we're seeing the blood removed from religion. More and more people that used to sing songs, there are now hymnals that are bloodless hymnals. They're taking the blood out, taking the blood, the songs that we sang. And I purposely sang the songs about the blood because, you know, I'm not ashamed of the blood of Jesus. I'm rejoicing over the blood of Jesus. Without the blood, there is no life. Without the blood of Jesus in my life, there's no salvation. I go to hell. More and more, they're removing the blood. They remove them from the songs, and then they remove them from sermons. And so you don't hear a lot about the blood. And perfect time this morning to talk about the blood as we talk about and we in a few minutes observe the Lord's Supper together. Why is Jesus' blood so important? Let me give you some things, and we'll go through them quickly. Number one is the penalty for sin. Turn, if you will, to Genesis 3 and verse 6. And a lot of these things are things that you've heard before. But again, we should be focusing this morning as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. We should be thinking about Jesus. This do in remembrance of me. Genesis 3 and verse 6. And so let's focus this morning on the blood of Jesus and why it's so important. Genesis 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And here comes the section, one of the saddest sections in all the Bible. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? This was something they had done daily, all the time, just walking with God. Adam and Eve just spending time with God in the cool of the garden. Wonderful time. The Garden of Eden, perfect environment. No sin, no wickedness, no internet filth, none of that kind of stuff. No wicked shows, no wicked movies, no wicked language, no wicked people. Nothing wicked. Everything's going great. The Garden of Eden's perfect. We have people today that say, well, if we all had a perfect environment, we'd be perfect. Not till heaven. Not till heaven, because we're the sinners. It's not the environment's fault. It's us. And so Adam and Eve have everything they could ever want. By the way, they had all the food they could ever want. They had every fruit, all kinds of fruit. They had bananas. They had oranges. They had apples. I know that everybody says the tree in the middle of the garden was an apple tree. I don't know that it was. It doesn't say. But the point is, God said you can't eat that fruit. God put a negative. And man didn't know how to deal with it. By the way, men are still trying to deal with negatives all the time. You know, don't tell me what to do, says man. Well, that's Adam and Eve's attitude eventually. And Satan got involved in that and said, you know what? This tree's good for you. And Eve saw, boy, that would taste real good. And they ate of the tree. That what they did is the fruit wasn't bad. The fruit wasn't, it was the breaking of God's command. And therefore, there was a penalty put upon them. And the Bible says in verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. That's what man said. And I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Obviously, they did. Of course, the man immediately blames a woman. Yeah, men have been blaming women for years. But and then the woman turns around and blames the serpent. And ultimately, they're all blaming God. And that's kind of what we do. And now it's got to be dealt with. Because God said there would be death. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God said, there is a penalty for breaking my law. By the way, man did not invent that. You know, man did not invent a penalty for breaking the law. Oh, it's a great idea. And our government is built on it. You know, we have laws that are made, and if you break it, there's a penalty. And but that's not original with man. That started with God right here. God said you can have everything. You can have anything. Anything you want in the Garden of Eden. It's a perfect environment. Adam and Eve are happy as can be. They're doing great. But God said there's one tree here. You can't eat the fruit of that tree. Period. That's it. And we all say, well, if that had been me, if that had been you, you'd have done the same thing they did. And if it had been me, I'd have done the same thing they did, because that's just how we are. And it's why we get upset. They're not going to tell me to fasten my seatbelt. Ha, I'll show them. You know, and everybody's flown. And the person says, when you land, they say, keep your seatbelt fastened. And I look at people, and they're undoing their seatbelt all over the place. Every now and then, my wife does. But you know, it's like, don't tell me what to do. Oh, I'm supposed to say every now and then I do. I do it real sneaky, you know, just to show her that I can get away. But anyway, that's because we're wicked. But the point is, there's a penalty. God said, if you do this, there's a penalty. I've said this many, many times when our kids were growing up. I used to tell them, you know what, Dave, you can do this thing. Now, I told you, I don't want you to do that. But you can do it, but you will be punished when you do it. It's your choice. You know? That's exactly what God said to Adam and Eve. You will make, it's up to you. You don't have to do it. But if you do, there will be a penalty. There is a penalty for sin. I know nobody wants to talk about it nowadays. There is a penalty for sin. I want you to notice here that after the sin, they realized they were naked. They had shame. They had guilt before the eyes of God. They felt ashamed. Now, before, they did not feel ashamed. Before, they had a perfect life. Everything was great. But after they ate the fruit, I should say after they sinned, they felt ashamed. For the first time, there was shame. There was guilt in the Garden of Eden. Two things happened when Adam and Eve sinned. Number one, they died spiritually. I mean, we know they didn't die physically because they're still alive here. They died spiritually. Look at Romans 5 and verse 12. Keep your place in Genesis. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. By the way, I hope you have your Bibles. We are looking at a lot of verses. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that death is not physical death. That is a spiritual death, and that is the penalty for sin. Death is separation from God. Death, as we learn from studying the Word of God, is for the lost person, for the person without Christ. The penalty of death is to go to a place called hell and to spend all eternity there. Hell was not made initially for men. Hell was made initially for the devil and his demons, but it is the place where men go who die without Jesus Christ. And literally, when sin took place, man died. Man died spiritually. The wages of sin is death. And so that happened when they sinned. And then another thing happened when they sinned, and that was that God could not look upon them. Habakkuk 1, verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. And because of their sin, God is looking for them in the garden, but they realize we have sinned against God, and their first response is, we'll hide. Well, actually, that wasn't their first response, was it? Their first response is, we'll cover this thing up. ourselves. Okay, that doesn't take care of the penalty, folks. That doesn't work. And it's very interesting, as they take fig leaves and they sew clothes for themselves, they think that's going to work. But wait a minute. They had those clothes on of fig leaves and they still hid from God. I don't care. You can be as religious as the Pope. You can go to every kind of religious ceremony and all the different motions. You can go to confirmation. You can go to catechism classes. You can be baptized, sprinkled. You can be all kinds of things. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, you will die and you will go to hell, but you'll still feel guilty before God Almighty, because you are. And those fig leaves, their own works, it didn't work. And so man died spiritually, and God couldn't look upon them. And so man had two problems now because of their sin. One was they faced judgment, death in a place called hell, punishment for breaking that law. And of course, they couldn't enter heaven anyway because they had no covering for their sin. They had nothing to eliminate the sin problem, which would keep them out of heaven anyway. And so there had to be an answer, and the answer was a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Again, we're still looking at number one, the penalty for sin, and the answer was a sacrifice. In other words, something had to die in their place. Something had to die. There had to be a substitute, but it couldn't just die because the blood was essential. You read your Old Testament and you read about the sacrificial system, and I'm not going to get into all of it right now just because of time, but again, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and life, obviously, when the blood is removed, it is taken. And something would have to lose its life. Okay, not a fig leaf being sown, material of clothing that is fashioned by a seamstress of some kind. No. Something had to die, and it had to shed its blood. And in Genesis 3 and verse 21, God again wants to fellowship with Adam and Eve, and God wants to fellowship with you and I, and God wants to walk with you and I, and God wants us to be in heaven with Him for all eternity. And so God said, I'll take care of it. And verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. That is one of the most beautiful pictures of God's providing a way. Coats, by the way, the casual reader just reads past that. The casual reader thinks, oh, that was nice. The casual reader simply says, okay, that's good, and they go on with their life. By the way, the casual Christian this morning will say, well, that was nice having the Lord's Supper, and think nothing of it. The casual Christian this morning will say, wow, you know, the blood of Jesus, all those songs, that was really something. That's good. I sure am. You know, that's a good thing. And then they'll kind of forget about it the rest of the week. That's the casual thinking. But the person who's really reading the Scripture will understand that in the Garden of Eden, there had never been blood shed. And so for the very first time, as far as we know, at the very first time, because to get the coats of skins, something had to die. Are you listening? Something had to die. Those coats of skins, God had nowhere else to go but to something living in the Garden of Eden. And God Himself, the Bible says, He made them coats of skins. And that covered them so they could fellowship with God. And right there, God killed an animal to cover their nakedness. And again, this animal, what did the animal do? Nothing. Well, why did the animal? The animal was a substitute, so they would not have to die. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says this, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And because of the blood, that red blood on that red sin becomes white as snow. It's blotted out. It's gone. And God said, that's the only way. I mean, way back in the Old Testament, way back in the Garden of Eden, God provided a sacrifice. The penalty for sin. Number two is the purpose of sacrifice. Something had to be killed to substitute and cover. The blood had to deal with that sin. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood had to be shed. The blood had to be removed from the animal, and the animal had to die, and both problems would be solved with that happening. And in the Old Testament, over and over and over and over, a lamb would be laid on an altar, and their neck would be stretched tight to reveal that vein, and a knife would be run across, and the blood would be spilled, and over and over and over. And God is simply saying over and over and over in the Old Testament, I will provide a sacrifice. I will provide my lamb. This is a picture of what I will do. This is a picture, as we have the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, of what God did to provide our salvation. It's all a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The sacrifices in the Old Testament didn't save anyone. Hebrews 9, verse 9, look at it real quick. And I'm moving right along here. Hebrews 9 and verse 9, we dealt with a lot of this in our Revelation class, talking about it. Hebrews 9 and verse 9, there are many, many verses we could look at, but again, because of time, we will not. Which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. All those sacrifices, it didn't do anything. It did not solve the problem, but it pictured the solving of the problem in Jesus Christ. And the people would over and over and over again, they would offer these sacrifices, picturing the future sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But there had to be blood. There had to be death. Cain and Abel, good example. You know, they had to deal with this themselves after their parents sinned. And you know the story. We're not going to read it right now. But Abel brought a sacrifice. God accepted it. Cain brought a sacrifice. God did not accept it. The difference was in blood. Blood. Abel brought the firstling of the flock and shed its blood. Cain brought a nice sacrifice, but it wasn't the right sacrifice. You see, way back there in the Old Testament, God's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, in this day and age of everything goes, and, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. All you need to do is be sincere. I don't know of anybody more sincere than Cain was when he brought his sacrifice. But he was wrong because it was not the blood. And there are people that are very, very sincere in their religiousness who don't have the blood of Jesus Christ. And they are wrong. You say, well, we're not supposed to say that. God says it. The purpose of sacrifice was the blood to be shed, causing death. The sin sacrifice in the Old Testament was done once a year, but go back to Hebrews 9 and verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. He did it every year, brought that blood in and all of that. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus, one time, we'll be remembering that in a few minutes as we take the bread, as we drink the juice, we'll be thinking remembering that one time. That one time when Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. Number one is the penalty for sin, death. Number two, the purpose of sacrifice, death and blood being shed. Number three is the picture of salvation. We sang a song a little while ago, and about most of us recognize it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It goes back to Exodus. Go to Exodus chapter 12. And the children of Israel are in Egypt. They are slaves. In my own Bible reading, I just now finished. I just keep reading. I don't start in Genesis at the beginning of the year. And I don't remember where I started this year or where I was when the year started. But I just finished reading about Joseph and the miracle that God provided to get all the children of Israel into Egypt and how wonderful that was. But it became not so wonderful. And the people became slaves to the Egyptians over the years. And obviously it wasn't God's will that they be in Egypt. By the way, it's not God's will that you be in Egypt either. Never is God's will that we be in Egypt, slaves in bondage to any kind of sin. But the Israelites are in Egypt, and God is going to deliver them. And you know the story, how that Moses came and there were plagues that were given out by God on the Egyptians. And each of those plagues, it's a great study, each of those plagues was proving to the Egyptians who God really is. And God dealt with the Egyptians in a big way. 9 plagues were given, and then there was one more plague. Exodus 12 and verse 21, it says, Exodus 12, 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. There's our word, the Passover. Just studied it during the Easter holiday and talked about all that. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Strike the lintel and the 2 side posts, the lintel being the upper piece of wood there, and then the side post. Strike it with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And so this last plague, the 10th plague, was that the firstborn boy in the house would die unless the blood was exactly how God said to do it. And the lamb would be watched, observed, shut up, and made sure that there's no blemish, there's no spot. It had to be perfect. It had to be the best. And that lamb would be killed. And that blood would drip into the basin. And the hyssop weed would be taken. And it would be put on the upper, the lintel, and on the posts of the door. Obviously, that which was here would drip down, straight down. And literally, you would have the points of the cross. What a picture of salvation on this story right here. And so here's the home of the people of Israel, and they're immediately doing exactly what God said. They're killing the lamb, they're taking the blood, and they are putting that blood on the door. And God said, don't go outside. Don't. If you go outside, there will be death. Stay there. Why? Because of the blood. What a picture. By the way, when Noah's Ark was built, everyone in the ark was safe. Those on the outside died. Beautiful picture. But what is it that saved them? It was the blood. The blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the death angel came that night according to the word of God. And the death angel came all throughout Egypt and all throughout Goshen. And the death angel came, and where there was no blood at the door, there was death inside. Every place, including Pharaoh's home. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, he's in charge. Oh, he was really powerful, but he wasn't powerful enough. And none of us are powerful enough either. That's why we need the blood. They say in Rotterdam, Holland, the House of a Thousand Terrors was a time and a place where evil King Philip II sent his army to destroy the people there in Holland. And they literally, the soldiers went house to house, killing everybody in the house. It was a slaughter that was unbelievable. Men, women, children, everybody in the house was massacred from house to house. In one home, there were men, there were women, there were children in the house, and they stood fearfully, hearing the screams from all over the city. All of a sudden, one of the young men grabbed a goat from the corner of the house and cut its throat and killed it and took the blood and swept it under the door. Soon the soldiers came and they looked and they said, oh, there's already a slaughter here. And they passed on past the house and the people were spared. I'm telling you exactly, that's exactly what happens when our Lord sees the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not guilty. You will never be guilty. Your sins are gone. Praise the Lord. And so the picture, what a picture of salvation. And again, in my mind, I imagine there might have been lots of people trying lots of things, but God said clearly, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When Jesus died on the cross, He became that sacrifice, that substitute. His precious blood would be taken and sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. And God the Father says, when I see the blood, you're not guilty. You're justified. You'll never be guilty. Praise God. And that brings me to the last thing, and that is the provision of the Savior. The penalty for sin, the purpose of sacrifice, the picture of salvation, number four, the provision of the Savior. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. He saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. Over and over in Revelation, He's the Lamb. The Lamb. They sing the song of the Lamb because He's the sacrifice. He's the substitute. His blood. He had to shed His blood. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Have your Bibles. If you can't turn to these, just write them down. I just have several verses. We're just about finished. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Not for His, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, the Bible says they took a cat of nine tails, a terrible torture device, a whip, and they lashed Him with that cat of nine tails. With His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's us. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. You should have been crucified. You should have suffered and died. But the Lord laid on Jesus my sin, your sin, our sin, all of it, on the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I often think about that first animal in the Garden of Eden, that innocent animal who had done absolutely nothing wrong, just an innocent animal, and God Himself reaches down and takes that animal and kills that animal and takes the skins of that animal so that mankind could walk and talk with Him. He hath made, but you say, oh, that's a terrible thing. But my Bible says that He, the Father, made Him, the Son, to be sin for me who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. Jesus didn't know sin. Why? Well, the verse goes on and says that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. How can I stand before God? How, according to Hebrews, can I come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace, to the very place of God, to God Himself? How can I do that as a sinner? Well, because I come in Jesus Christ by His blood. Back to Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Every man. He died for every man. Think about that. Those that hate Him, those that curse Him. I did before I got saved. And He tasted death for me. Praise the Lord. Hey, Lord's Supper, that was nice. That was kind of a neat little thing. Oh, yeah, that's nice to do that on a... No, no, listen to me. He died for you. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. In Romans 12, it says that's our reasonable service. It is. That's why when we do the Lord's Supper, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Because honestly, what He did for me, why wouldn't I do anything for Him? Seems like we would, doesn't it? And the blood of Jesus. Does it matter? At the Last Supper, when Jesus was with His disciples, we just studied this, at the time of the Passover, Matthew 26, 28 says, for this, He said, this is My blood of the New Testament. He had grape juice, but He said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Shortly after that, He would be tried. False accusations, He'd not open His mouth, and He would be crucified. What's He saying to His disciples? He's saying, My blood. This is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission, forgiveness, putting away of sins. Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Watch what it says. Which He hath purchased with His own blood. Whose church is it? It's His. Purchased with His own blood. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified. What's justified? Not guilty. Being now justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. You go soul winning and you start talking to people and they say, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, I know. I know I'll never go to hell. Well, you can't know that. I do know that. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how I know that. I am saved from wrath through Him. Without Him, I'm lost. Without Him, I go to hell. Without Him, I am of all men most miserable. But I'm telling you this, because of Him, I live. Because of the blood. Hebrews 9, 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Does it just equal a nice little formality that we do? little tradition, cute little service that we have? Or does it cause us to want to do something for Him because it's His blood? 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, past, present, future, gone. Praise God. You know you. That's why I don't have to know your sin. We don't have confession time around here. You'd be one sinner confessing to another one. Amen. But we can go boldly to the throne of grace, and He knows me better than I know me. You can't hide anything from Him. So you know what you have to do? You have to just go and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the only way. Does the blood matter? You better believe it matters. As it mattered to those families, can you imagine? As the word has spread to the children of Israel and it's passed on that a lamb has to die or the firstborn in the household would die. Can you imagine all the firstborn gathering around? Can you imagine you're the firstborn? In my mind, I've done it many, many times, just kind of thought through it as I read that passage and thought about, you know, here's a 12-year-old boy, he's the firstborn in the house. Dad, you got the lamb pinned up? You got the best lamb, Dad? No, son, you know, I think we've decided lambs are too expensive. We'll use a chicken. No, Dad. Dad, this me you're talking about here. No, Dad, seriously. No, I'm just kidding, son. We're gonna use a lamb, but we're not gonna watch it like God said. We're not gonna watch it 4 days. We're just gonna watch it 2. Dad, this is me you're talking about here. Dad, please. Well, son, you do know that there's a law against killing lambs. Oh, I forgot to mention that. Egypt, the Egyptians worshipped the lamb. You're in big trouble when you kill a lamb. Son, you know that's going to cause... Dad, I know, according to God, I'm in big trouble if you don't. All right, son, but you know, we're going to go ahead and we are going to do everything right. We're going to get the best lamb, a perfect lamb, and we're going to sacrifice that lamb. But son, you know, here's what I've decided. Your mom and I talked about this. We prayed about it. We're going to put the blood on the inside of the door because it is against the law. Dad, I don't think you understand. I'll die if you do that. You know what, folks? This book does matter. And doing it God's way does matter. But when we don't, thank God for the blood. Because there's not one of us that hadn't failed somewhere along the line. You know, preacher, the Lord's Supper, that's a great idea to do it on a Sunday morning, and I'm glad we get to partake in that. It ought to change your life, the blood. The Bible emphasizes, you see these pictures of Jesus hanging on a cross. It's such an amazing thing. It's a joke. Unless you look at a Jack Chick comic, he comes close. Usually they'll show the crown of thorns. There's maybe a little dot of blood here and here. They'll show a hand with a nail driven through it, and there's just a little spot of blood. A little spot of blood over here. A little spot of blood at the feet. Folks, and then the rest of the body is just clean as can be. I'm telling you, you and I can't even imagine Jesus hanging on the cross. We can't imagine. 39 times with a cat of nine tails, that whip with little pieces of leather coming off of it embedded with rocks and glass and stone and whatever else material they could get. And that soldier would whip the victim with that thing as their body is totally exposed. And literally those leather pieces would dig into the flesh. And when that soldier pulled back, pieces of flesh would peel from the body. And Jesus was blood as He carried the cross to Golgotha. He was bleeding the whole time. And He was beaten in the face, and his beard was pulled out, and the crown of thorns, this area right here, cut yourself. Don't. Yeah, my pastor said to cut my head. No, no, don't. But if you do, you bleed. Your head, there's so many vessels there, and it bleeds so easily. And literally, his face would have been covered with blood. And that final thrust of the spear, blood and water gushed out. Why? Why does it matter? Why is the Bible, oh, it's just such a gory religion. No, my sin is gory. Your sin is gory. And it took the blood so that we could be forgiven. For you and for me. And that's why he did it. And there's two groups sitting here this morning. Just two groups. Both are sinners. Both groups, you can put a whole list of sins under both groups. Well, preacher, what's the difference? The difference is the blood. That is the difference. And at the age of 17, I came to Jesus after he came to me many times and called. And at the age of 17, I said, God, please forgive me for my sin. And at that time, I received Jesus Christ and his blood. And now I'm forgiven. And my sin's gone. Yeah, preach, you talk about some back when you were a teenager and some of the things, boy, you were a wicked, you know what? I will never, ever, ever, ever stand before God for any of that. Never. Hey, Christian, tell your face to rejoice because all the sin is gone because of one thing, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's Supper today, you know what it is? It's a celebration. It's a celebration. The blood. Let's bow our heads, please.